My mom last night, my dad are in town. It's good to have them here. They're here this morning with me. My parents, can you raise your hands over there? My parents sit over here to the left side. It's good to have them here. We were talking last night at the dinner table, and we were talking about our kids, and she was saying, you know, your dad was about your same age when I'm going to be 37 coming up here in just a little bit. And so she goes, your dad was about your same age when, I know some of you can't believe I'm 37. It's hard to believe. But anyway, she said, your dad was about your same age when Landon, you know, but when he had Landon, and he's, you know, when you were eight, you were the same age as he was. And I said, yeah, but I'm a cool 37, Dad. I was a cool 37. And I said, you're an old 37. I was teasing him. I said, you're an old 37. I'm a young 37. It's a big difference. And it's funny how time catches up with all of us, doesn't it? Time catches up. And so the question is, you know, what are you going to do with the time that you have? What are you going to do with the time that you have? Well, Pastor, it seems like I've flown by. My kids are out of the house now. Or you're raising up children. They're growing up fast. And the question still remains, what are you going to do with the time you have left? What are you going to do with the time that God has given you? Are you going to be good stewards over the things that God has given you now? The time that you have to develop, the time you have to grow in your relationship with God and with other people. And one of the most important things that we're doing right now is that we are learning that God has something special for us to do. And that we are talking about this thought of discovering team destiny. Discovering team destiny. And as we're in this series on talking about how God wants to use our giftings, and we're spending a lot of time talking about relationships, because I believe today that it is such an important thing. And we're going to talk about this thought today, the road to better relationships, the road to better relationships, that I cannot emphasize enough that we need relationships. And I cannot just go over this. As your pastor, I cannot just smooth over this and just say, you know, preach this on one Sunday. But it takes time for us to talk about this, and that's why I'm spending so much talking about this last month and intertwined in everything we do about building relationships with each other, because this is really the lifeline of our church. This becomes a lifeline of our church, is that we have got to build relationships one with another. That if you want to grow, that you got to be connected to people, and you got to be getting closer to people, developing relationships that develop you. Let me say it again, developing relationships that will develop you. And so this is such an important thing that I believe that we have got to really make sure that we are hearing what the Word of God has to say about us becoming the friend that God has called us to be, about building relationships with each other, because it is such an important thing. Matter of fact, Jesus said it right this, and he said this. He said, when someone is like, what's the most important thing? Is it about owning your own business, or is it about making so much money, or having so many degrees, or about accomplishing so many things? Jesus, what's the most important thing in life? What's the most important thing we can do as Christians? And Jesus didn't hesitate at all. Jesus didn't say, let me think about this and get back to you. No, right away, Jesus had an answer. And look what he says here in John 13:35. And Jesus answered this question to the Christians that were asking this. He says, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. By all this, men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Isn't that interesting? That Jesus said that we are to love one another. And by this, they'll know that we're Christians. By this, they'll know that we are disciples, that we are called to love one another. He says, by this, people are going to know that you are called to love one another. It's just a relationship thing. We know this is the most important thing that he's asked us to do, is build relationships with the Father and with each other. He says, hey, you love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it all comes down to. That's what, if you want to just put it in a nutshell, if you want to get this whole Christian walk down to a simple mission statement, if you can just take the mission statement, and he was good at mission statements long before, you know, Maxwell or anybody else had these things going for us. But he had a mission statement. Hey, love God and love your neighbor. That's it. Love God with all your heart, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. I mean, if you can get those two things down, then you're on the right track. You're heading in the right direction. You've got my purpose down. You've got my direction down. You're going. You're going to be going. When you can get these things down, you're going to be heading in the right direction. And so this is such an awesome thing, because, you know, we have to learn to value our relationships. I remember watching this TV program sometimes, and some of you have seen these shows. I love watching these hidden treasure shows where people bring stuff out of their attic and garage and basement, and they have those road shows, you know, they go and they tell you what the valuable or not. And people have this thing. I remember one time this lady, they were interviewing her before she went to have it appraised, and she's like, well, my grandma passed away, and I've had this stuck in my closet for several years, and it was in an old, just worthless jewelry box. But it's a piece of jewelry. It didn't look really expensive, but because I just thought I'd come and see, maybe it's worth a couple hundred dollars or something. Who knows? And she had one of the things that made it original was she had the original drawings from Tiffany's, and it was actually crafted in 1904. And so she actually had the original drawings that would go along with the piece of jewelry of its design. And so she took it to the roadshow, and they appraised it, and she about had a heart attack when they told her it's worth $385,000. I mean, whoa, yeah, that's a praise God, hallelujah. Right there, someone said, I felt God coming all through that right there. Some of you are going to go home today and start digging through your closet. Maybe you were like my dad. My dad, he gave me his old junky guitar, and he told me, son, you can have this guitar, you know, and then when he found out it was worth about $10,000, he decided to put it on the eBay. But I haven't seen the dollar of it yet, but we'll see what happens. Just teasing them today. We have things that are value, and we have things that are valuable, and we got to learn that sometimes even though we've got things there, that we got to get them out of the closet. Some of us, we got these relationships and ideas of relationships stuck in a closet somewhere, and they're so valuable. They're so valuable to God. They're so valuable to what God wants us to develop that we got to pull them out and allow God to develop those relationships in our life. They bring value to us, and we don't even know that they're there. Some of you don't even know that you have some of the most valuable relationships sitting around you right now. Some of you don't realize that God has got designed people around you that are just waiting to bring value to your life. And they're waiting to bring support to you and to bring encouragement to you and to bring instruction to you and to bring support to you. That we all need relationships. And why are relationships important for us? What do relationships do for us? First of all, we find the challenges that we need in relationships. We find the challenges that we need in relationships. They challenge us to be better. They challenge us to change. Excuse me. They challenge us to do the right thing. They challenge us to be faithful. They challenge us to grow. Relationships bring challenges to our life that we need. Relationships will challenge us to be a better husband. They can challenge us to be a better mother. They can challenge us to be a better person. They can challenge us to be closer to God. They also give us the comfort that we need. And they also give us the encouragement that we need. They give us encouragement and they give us comfort. They encourage us to do the right thing. How many know that you need encouragement? Do you know that? If you didn't know that, let me just tell you, we all need encouragement. You know, it's really hard to encourage yourself. Now, there comes some times in your life when sometimes it seems like you're the only person. And you got to learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. And it even talks about David at one time. He did that, where he encouraged himself in the Lord. And there's been a few times in my life where I felt like I was the only one battling this battle. And I had to just get out there and encourage myself in the Lord. But you know what? That's a hard thing. That's a hard thing to do on a consistent basis. And that really, if we need encouragement in our life, it comes from other people. And we got to be around other people. It's so much better when people are encouraging you. People are patting you on the back. People are saying, come on, we can do it. Let's do it together. We can make it through this problem together. Let me help you. Let me pray for you. Let me let you know I'm thinking about you. I mean, when you have people who are encouraging you, man, you can't help but be encouraged. Wow. You mean, Pastor, people encourage me? I will be encouraged? Yes. But you got to be around people. But you got to get connected to people and allow them to encourage you. And so some of you need encouragement because you're out there alone doing your own thing. You need people to encourage you. They also give us the comfort that we need. Let me give you a statistic today and tell you this. That according to polls and according to statistics, I haven't checked in a while, but I can guarantee you this is a true fact, that 100% of us will go through a crisis. Right? How many has ever went through a crisis in your life? Raise your hand. Okay, yeah. Every one of us has gone through a crisis in our life. And let me tell you this. You'll go through another one before it's over with. And you'll go through lots of crises in your life. Because as we live this human life, we have things that rise up that just don't make a lot of sense in our life. We don't understand. And we go through deaths and sickness. And we go through problems. And we go through crises and things that happen that, man, we just wasn't planning for. And I would tell you this. If you don't have people who are connected to you, man, it will burn you out. It will leave you helpless. It will leave you feeling like, man, I am all alone. This thing is killing me. This thing has got me in a place of trapment. It's draining me. It's taking away my desire for life. It's taking away my desire to live for God. And I say this, you need to be connected to people because they bring comfort to you. I mean, great is the people who have friends in their life who can come beside them It's amazing to me when people go through funerals in their life and have close ones who die and they don't have family around them. They don't have a family. They don't have friends around them. They don't have a church family who surrounds them and brings meals and this lets them know they're loving them and caring for them. I mean, you're missing out if you're not connected to people because you are missing the comfort that you need. So it's only in our relationship with God and with people that you find those things in a lifetime, that you'll find the things that you're really needing to get out of your life. It comes through a relationship with God, and it comes through a relationship with people that God puts in our life. And so on this journey to becoming better in your relationships and developing these relationships in your life, I would say there's some crossing points in your life. There's some crossroads in your life that you'll come to that will either take you this way to the left or take you to the right. The right way and the wrong way. One way will lead you to developing the relationships that God has for you. The other way will take you down a road of isolation. And these choices you have to make, and let's look at some of these. There's four of them I want to look at today. Number one, the first crossroad is when I choose to walk alone or I choose to be with others. I will choose to walk alone or I choose to be with others. I will choose to isolate myself or I'll choose to be connected to people. It's a choice that all of us are going to have to make. Am I going to live my life isolated? Am I just going to come and be isolated? Or am I going to choose to open up my life and get connected to people? All of us have to make this decision. And for some reason, there's some people I know that you want to live a life of isolation because people have hurt you. And I say to you today, listen, we've all been hurt. People have all hurt us. And there is no guarantee that you won't be hurt again because there's always risk involved when it comes to opening up your life. And I just would tell you this, that we're going to get hurt at times. But don't allow your hurt and your fear to stop you from connecting with the relationships that God has for you. That these people can help develop you. They can help you get past some of your past hurts, and they can help you grow in the relationship that God has for you. We need each other. Or we're just too busy, Pastor. I'm just too busy. I want to get connected to small groups. I want to get connected to people. I want to get connected in relationship with people, but I'm just too busy. My kids are busy every night of the week. We've got this going on. I'm just lucky to be here on Sunday morning. And I say that you will make time for what's valuable to you. We're all busy. Who's not busy? I mean, you know, 90% of us here, we are busy beyond. Our schedule is so full. That's just America. That's the society we live in today. We are running and we are busy, but it never stops me from doing what I really want to do. I will make room for the things that I value. I will make time for the things that are really valuable to me. I don't care what, if I want to play golf, I'm going to make it. I may be busy and I have no time to play golf, but if it's a nice day and I really want to play, I will make time. Somehow I will fit it in. It's a miracle, Carlos. It's like, you know, it's a miracle. God, you allowed me to have a break and I can do this. I mean, no, if I really want to do it, I'll make it happen because it's valuable to me. I really want to do it at the time. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Ladies, you're so busy. And there's a sale going on, but you know what? I'll make time for that sale. I got to get down there. It's clearance time. You know, they're clearing out everything. It's 75% off. I'm going to be there. I'm stocking up for next winter right now. You're getting, you know what I'm talking about, because you will make time for the things that are valuable to you. And so what the problem is, we don't value relationships enough. We don't value that God has got a place for us to connect with people. And until we learn to value that, we got to choose that I'm not called to isolate myself. I am called to be connected to God's people. That the church was never developed to be one-on-one as far as isolated, and we're out there by ourselves, alone, isolated. But he has called us to be connected to each other. Look what the scripture says here in Ecclesiastes 4:12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back-to-back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple-braided cord is not easily broken. He said, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. If you are feeling attacked and defeated, are you standing alone today? If you say, Pastor, that's me. I feel like I've been attacked and defeated so much. I ask you this question. Do you feel like you're standing alone? You need to get connected with people, somebody who's going to have your back. I can tell you, there's nothing more secure than knowing that there's some people I know that have my back. There's some relationships I know that these people got my back no matter what I'm going through, no matter what happens in my life. I know these people have got my back. I know these people are going to help me. If I went to them and said I needed something, they would bend over backwards and give me the last shirt on their back if I needed it, because they valued my relationship with them, and I value their relationship, and vice versa would happen with me with them, because I have built these kind of connections over the years with people, and they are so valuable, and we need them. You know, there was a study done one time at a strongman competition where these guys were pulling these sleds. You've seen these things on, you see reruns all the time on ESPN, these world's strongest men, you know, and they bring these guys in, and they're pulling these sleds full of, you know, weights, and they see who the strongest guy is. And after the competition was over one time, they did a study to see. They put two guys on a sled, and they decided to see how far these two guys could take the sled together. And they doubled up the weight. And, of course, those guys just breezed through it. And I said, let's put on three times as much weight, you know. So they took the weight they could do individually, and they added that. And then they put on another weight. So they had three times as much as weight as they did when they were just doing it by themselves. And so even though there's two of them, they pulled that three times as weight as much without any problem at all. You know, when they got done, that those two guys pulled five times the amount they'd done alone. Five times the amount. They ended up doing 10 to 1 together. See, there's so much more strength. You know, physics would tell us he could only do twice as much, you know. Well, I can do my part, he can do his part, and together we can do what we do individually. But no, but when you work together, you can do so much more. You multiply yourself together. And that's such an important lesson, because it says that two can back-to-back can conquer, and three are even better. A triple braided cord is not easily broken. That we need each other in our relationships. We've got to develop relationships with each other. So how do we do this? Hebrews 10:25 says this. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. We've got to continue to meet together. And it's not enough just to meet on Sunday morning. Sunday morning is a very important time of the week. You should value your Sunday morning worship time. You need that time to come and worship and to lift God's name up together and hear God's word. But it's not enough. You need to continue to meet together. That's why we have home groups that are going to be meeting throughout the community. That's why we have things. It's not enough. You got to get in there, and you got to meet together continually. Acts 2:44, talking about the New Testament church, says this. It says all the believers were together, and they shared everything. I mean, after the day of Pentecost, and these guys are going out and getting saved, it says they just met together. Continually, they met together at night in people's homes, and they met during the week in homes, and they shared meals together, they shared problems together, and then they met in the synagogue on the Sabbath and went and worshiped together. I mean, it was a continual thing in relationships. We see how the New Testament church was designed to operate. And somewhere along the way, we've gotten away from that in today's society, and we've become a synagogue church where we just go on our Sabbath only. We only go on Sunday only. Sunday only, Sunday morning only. I've done my biblical duty here, and so now I can go live my life. And realizing that God has not developed us to do that. God has not ordained us just to come on Sunday morning, but he wants to walk with us in a relationship every day with him. And then he wants us to learn to build relationships with each other that lasts more than just Sunday morning, that they develop during the week, so you can get support from these people, so you can get encouragement, instruction, correction from people around you. You know, church is such an easy place to hide. Do you know that? You know, church is a very easy place to hide. That you can come to church and just come in on a Sunday morning and go out and never get involved in anything and feel so good about yourself. I don't feel good. I'm coming to church on Sunday morning. Oh, but it's an easy place to come and hide and get comfortable. And I say to you, if you've been coming for any time at all, that, you know, if you're a guest today, I know you want to come in and kind of check things out. And that's very fine. And that's normal. We encourage you to stay there and to just, you know, checking things out. But, you know, if you've been coming for any time at all on a regular basis, you need to slip out of your comfort zone and say, you know what? I got to build some relationships with people around me. I got to build friendships with people around me. And so today, we need each other. We got to quit hiding and get involved and connect to people. Today, if you are going to lead a small group or if you are going to host a small group, can you just stand up? We have some of those leaders here today. Can you stand up? I want people to see some people around you. If you're leading a group or hosting a group or co-leading a group, can you stand up? Those that are around, get connected to some of these people and ask them, hey, I want to be involved in a group around you. Thank you. You can be seated. So we have others that aren't here today that are also going to be leading. And so you got to get connected to people. Find out. Next week, we're going to have a list of these addresses and phone numbers. And you call them up and say, man, I'm visiting your group. You know, that's fine. You come and show up. Get connected with people, because we need each other. We got to choose, make a choice. Are you going to choose to walk alone, or are you going to choose to get connected to people? It's a crossroads you're going to have to choose. The second relational crossroads we have to face is, I choose to pretend, or I choose to be real. Do I choose to pretend, or I choose to be real? Jesus had a word for people who pretended, who faked it. He called them hypocrites. That's what he said. I didn't say that. That's what Jesus said. And he's really talking about these Pharisees. And look what he says here in Matthew 23. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean." What was he saying? He's saying, so many of us are so worried about the outside that we forget about the inside. That's what he was saying. He said, you're being a hypocrite. And some of us are here, we want to keep it so much together that we don't want to connect with groups, because if they really saw the real me, they wouldn't like me. So many here are so afraid to let people see the real you, that you're afraid people will reject you, or they'll think bad about you, or they'll do things and you'll think, man, I just cannot open up. So we keep this mask on, and we keep this facade on, and we live our life with this mask of saying, I'm all right, I've got it all together. Let me be the first one to tell you that I don't always have it all together. And I can tell you right now, without even knowing you, some of you very well, that you don't have it all together either. None of us have it all together, and we need help. We need help. We need God's help, first of all, and then we need help from other people around us. And we got to find people that we can trust, that we can connect with, and begin to take off our mask and say, you know what, I'm going through this. You know, one of the exciting things this summer that I heard was that in our Body for God men's ministry, we had some small groups that were happening, some breakout sessions, and it seemed like some of the guys who got together in one particular group, they said, you know what, every one of us had children that were going through the same thing in our life or had gone through that, and they left there, they were leaving so encouraged because these guys were opening up and talking about the problems they were having in some relationships with their children and their family, and these guys ministered to each other and talked to each other, you know, and I thought, that's what it's about, but these guys never would have felt secure opening up unless they had been in this particular group and it opened up, and it's like God worked it out. These guys worked it out and talked to each other, encouraged each other. And I say to you that we need to be connected to people and take off our mask. How do we do this? Romans 12:9 says, don't just pretend that you love others, really love them. Don't just pretend you love them, really love them. It starts with your words. Ephesians 4:25, I love what the Message says, the paraphrased Bible, and it says this. What this adds up to is that no more lies, no more pretense. I tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we are all connected to each other. After all, when you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Wow. Don't pretend you love them. Be real. Be real. Don't lie to your neighbors. Really love them. Get connected to them. Allow God to work in that relationship. The third thing I have to choose to do is choose the shortcut or the long road. Am I going to choose the shortcut or the long road? It kind of reminds me of the story of that. Maybe some of you remember that story on Little House on the Prairie. You guys remember that show? Some of you remember that show, yeah. Little House on the Prairie, and there's a story on that show where Charles is his son-in-law. What was his name? Alonzo, I think it was. They were starting the business together, and they were going to transport in their wagon from Walnut Grove to another town. They were going to be a shipping thing with the horses, you know. And so they were trying to pick the best route to go, and the son-in-law thought that he had the best route to go because he said, this way's shorter. But, of course, Charles, being older, more wiser, said, yeah, but it's a very hilly place, a very hilly way to go, and it'll take us longer. So we need to take the long road because it's flat. He said, but we can save the time. We can make it up. And so they decided to have a race. They would take a load and see who got there first. And then whoever got there first, that would be the route they would choose from then on to go. And so they split up and had a friendly, you know, father-son-in-law competition. And they took off and they were racing. And of course, when the son-in-law, whose way was much shorter, got to the hill, he tried to get up the hill and couldn't get there all the way. So he'd go back down. He had to unload everything off his wagon at the bottom of the hill. Half his load, and then he had to go back up to the top of the hill and unload the other half. And he had to go back down and load the other half up and go back to the top of the hill and load it back up just to get over. And so he was so late, and he was so worn out when he got there, and he was like, you're right, you know. And he was trying to take a shortcut to get there and prove he was right. And that's the same way with us, that many times we will try to take a shortcut that doesn't need to happen. Try to take a shortcut to our happiness. Try to take a shortcut to developing a relationship, and it's just not going to happen. That relationships will happen. Relationships will happen when you're in it for the long haul. That when you're in it for the long road, that you got to realize it's going to take time to develop relationships. It takes commitment to develop relationships. Look what Ephesians 4:2 says. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make an allowance. That means that it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. When your relationship is going to cost you, it's going to cost you some time to develop relationships. It's going to cost you some of your heart. It's going to cost you time in developing these relationships. It's not going to be just an easy thing that happens overnight. There was, you remember a few years ago when they had all these one-minute manager things coming out? Remember how it was a pop-up, one-minute manager, 1 minute to relationships, 1 minute to this, you know, 1 minute to, you know, 1 minute you can learn how to develop these and conquer them. You know, that's not true. There's no one-minute manager to relationships. That it takes time, whether you're in a marriage, whether you're developing relationships with people around you, or it's developing people in a small group. It's going to take time to develop these relationships that are going to make you better. But we all need them. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, be patient with everyone. Ooh, I hate that verse. Ooh, be patient with everyone, because I don't always have patience. Matter of fact, I'll tell you this, I'm not a person of patience at all. I really struggle with long lines. I struggle with bad service. I struggle with a lot of things. And so I really get tested on these things in my life. But so Scripture says, be patient with everyone. And so I have got to learn to be patient with people. And you've got to learn to be patient with people. When you're developing relationships with people, it takes patience. When somebody is missing out of a group and somebody is trying to get connected and they're falling short and they're not showing up and they're going through a problem and they're not living up to what they should, it takes patience. And so you are committing to a relationship that you are going to work things through. 1 Corinthians 13:7. It says, love never gives up. Ain't that a great verse? Love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It always is hopeful and it endures through every circumstance. That you and I have got to be committed when it comes to relationships. We are committing that no matter what relationship we get in, that we're going to stick it out. Now, let me tell you this, that God has never expected you or does expect you to stay into a relationship where there's abuse going on, okay? I'm not talking about dealing with abuse in your life, being mistreated and being abused. But we got to make a commitment to our relationships that we're going to stick it out no matter what, that we're going to stick out our relationships. And when I have a relationship with somebody that I'm close to and I don't like what's going on, I'm committed to that relationship. Even though I don't like it, I'm going to work it out. I'm going to stick there. I'm going to work it out with them. And that's the kind of commitment we make with our spouse. It also becomes the kind of commitment we make with people around us that when they make a mistake, you know what? I'm there to be aware with them. I'm going to support them. I'm going to walk through the mistake they make. Someone who's going through a problem, I'm going to be there with them. I'm going to endure. I am never going to give up on them. I'm never going to lose faith on them. It's always hopeful. It endures through every circumstance. We've got to learn that God said, do not give up on people. Now, how many are glad that God didn't give up on you? I can tell you this. I'm so glad that God did not give up on me, or I wouldn't be here today. And I can tell you that you're the same way. I'm so glad that God didn't give up on me or you. And we are called to have the same kind of love. We're not called to give up on people. We're called to love people. We're called to connect to people. We're called to love them through their circumstances. We love them through their problems. I tell you what, the church far too long has been the place where people, when they messed up, were rejected, were put out. They were isolated. And that is hogwash. Because that's very much the opposite of what Scripture teaches us, that we are to love people through their problems. We are to love them through their failures. We're to love them through their crisis. I don't isolate them. I don't kick them out. But I do just the opposite. I love them and show them that even though they messed up, I am here to walk with you through your problem. I'm here to endure with you because love never, ever gives up. Let me say it again. Love never gives up. We never give up on our children. God never gave up on us. And we're called to have the same kind of commitment in our relationships that we don't give up on people. And the fourth crossroad we have to choose is when I choose comfort or I choose change. Will I choose comfort or will I choose change? John 10:10 says, I came to give life, and life in all its fullness. In all of its fullness, that Jesus came to give life, and life in all of its fullness. And you're going to have to make a choice. Am I going to choose to be comfortable? Am I going to choose just to live in my own world the way it is now? Or am I going to choose to break out of my circle and say, God, I've got to develop these relationships with people. I've got to choose to live life to its fullness. And I say that some of you are missing so much in your life because you're not being connected with people. You've got to get connected with people and see what God wants to do in your life. You never know what's going to happen. That person in your small group may be the link to you getting another job. That person in your small group may be the very person who helps you get over the thing you're struggling with right now. That person in your small group may be the person who helps you get the support you need to get over the addiction you have in your life. Whatever it is you're going through, we're supporting each other. And I got to choose my own comfort, which is me, myself, and I, my own world. That's what's safe. That's the only thing I can control. Or do I get out of my bubble and say, God, I'm going to connect to other people. Because when I connect to other people, it brings change. Scripture is very clear. 2 Corinthians 7:9 says, I am happy. Not because you were made sad, but because your sorrow made you change your lives. And this is kind of a cool scripture because we see where Paul was talking to the Corinth church. And he was talking to the Corinth church and he had to bring some instruction to them. And he had just got through really bringing instruction and he had been bringing to, hey, you've been messing up in some areas, you've been doing some things wrong. And then later on he writes at the end, but I'm happy. I'm happy that I made you sad. Isn't that kind of weird? That's why he said, I'm happy because you were made sad. Not because you were made sad, because you were sorrow made you change your lives. He was like, I know what I said upset you for a time and season, but you changed your ways. And overall, because I am enduring with you, because I am not giving up with you, I'm connected with you. Even though when you're doing things wrong, even when you're messing up, I'm going to be there for you. And I'm going to tell you, you're messing up. And you're going to get mad at me, but that's okay because you're going to change. And through the change and through the sorrow, it brought change in our life. They had some difficult conversations, I'm sure. Paul had some really hard conversations with the people there, but they ended up taking it. And that's what Proverbs 27:17 says. As iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens another. And how many, that sounds like a pretty cool scripture, doesn't it? I really like that because it kind of reminds me of, you know, these knights taking you know, fighting with their swords. And it's kind of that same principle here. But how many know when iron hits iron, what happens? Sparks fly. And that's not always an easy thing, but so it means that sometimes when you're connected with people, the sparks are going to fly. That means if you really want to develop each other, sometimes you're going to be talking because you have developed that kind of relationship. You're going to say, hey, listen, you're blowing it. You're spending all your time at the office and no time with your family. And he's going to say, what? Who are you to tell me how to run my life? The sparks are going to fly, but because you've been connected, because you've walked through crisis together, because you have endured your relationship, that person's going to say, yeah, you're right, though. And sparks are going to fly, and you're going to help each other get through some things in your life. See, that's iron sharpening iron, but you'll never develop those kind of relationships that will help develop you until you endure, until you quit being isolated and get connected with people. And then you allow people to help sharpen you, that you can sharpen other people, and they can sharpen you, that you show yourself that I'm open to instruction from you, and you're open to instruction from me, because we have developed that kind of relationship. We need each other, and we've got to be connected to other people. Hebrews 10:24 says, think of ways to encourage one another to outburst of love and good deeds. That means that I am supposed to think of ways to encourage you, and my encouragement of you will cause you to have outbursts of love and good deeds. I mean, how many of us treat our spouse this way? If we would learn this is great marriage counseling right here. If we would learn that I'm called to treat my spouse in a way, I'm called to encourage him in a way that will cause outbursts of love and good deeds. And it's just not my spouse that the people I'm connected with, I'm supposed to encourage them. That will cause them to want to be good. That will cause them to want to change. That will cause them to have outbursts of love and good deeds. This is the kind of relationships, this is the kind of friend that God is asking us to do. We're to be encouragers of people. And as the musicians come this morning, let me say to you that we have got to get connected with people. That if we're going to go to the next level as a church, And I know that you want that, and that God has brought us so far, so fast. But I would tell you this, that if we do not get connected with people, that we're going to miss the boat. Because God has never called us to walk it alone. He's not calling His church just to be a church where people come on Sunday morning, but He's called us to be a church where we develop relationships to develop each other. We develop relationships that help us grow. And this is all about Jesus' heart. It was all about developing relationships. He said, man, you love God with all your heart, and you love your neighbor as yourself. So it's just not enough to love God with all my heart. I've got to learn to love my neighbor, and that means I've got to get connected with people. I've got to quit isolating myself. Get connected. Well, Pastor, I don't know. I said, get over it. Get there. Get connected. I can't encourage you. I'll tell you what. I believe that you will grow. Just coming on Sunday morning, you will grow slowly, but surely you'll grow slow. But if you want to grow faster in your relationship with God, you want to mature, get connected and see what happens. Get connected in a small group and see if it does not speed up your growth. Speed up your growth and then get connected and see what happens there. I guarantee you will speed up your growth because you're going to have iron sharpening iron. You're going to have others who are encouraging you, and you're going to be encouraging others, and that's going to help you to grow as well. You're going to bring some of your experiences and help others who have gone through some bad things in their life or gone through some tough things. You're going to say, yeah, I remember when I had kids and I went through the same thing. And you're going to minister to somebody in that group who needs to hear what you have to say. You're going to say, I remember when we went through this crisis in our life also, or our marriage, or in our health. And you're going to be able to say, I came through it. God helped me through it. You're going to encourage them. And they're going to receive instruction from you, and vice versa. At times you're going to receive instruction from them. And it's going to be such a healthy thing as we're opening up our lives and saying, God, I've got to grow in my relationship with people. So as your pastor today, I say that I just cannot encourage it enough. Get involved. Get involved in a group. Help me glad that Jesus Christ is the great relationship giver. It's not enough. Revelation 3:20 says, look, here I stand at the door and knock. If you hear me calling, open the door, and I will come in, and I will share a meal as friends. Jesus is here today. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, you're talking about building relationships with people and getting involved in the home group, but I haven't even built my relationship with Jesus yet. I say you're at the right spot. You're at a good place today because Jesus is here to meet you at your point of need today. He's here to come in, and He wants to be that friend that's closer than any brother. He wants to come in today and bring salvation and hope to you in your life. But it comes with simply you open your heart up to Him and saying, Father, I receive you as Lord of my life today. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. If you're here today, you say, I've never prayed that prayer, Pastor. I've never asked Jesus into my life today. And no one's looking around. I would not embarrass you. But today, I want to just say that I want to accept Jesus Christ into my life. I want to ask Him to be Lord of my life. I want to have that friend that sticks closer to any brother. I'm asking Jesus to be Lord of my life today. I've never done it before. Can you raise your hand and say, I want to do that? Just let me know that. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want you to see. Anybody here today can raise your hand high and say, it's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. Second question today I have for you is this. So pastors are talking about building relationships. If you can just raise your hand where you're at and say, I'm being challenged that I need to get out. God's challenged me today through the message that I need to connect with people. I need to get connected with people. Anybody here can raise your hand and say, that's me. Yeah, several hands going up. Anybody else say, God's Spirit speaking to me. I need to get connected with people. Thank you, thank you. Several hands going up across the auditorium. Thank you guys for being honest. Thank you. God's speaking to you today about getting connected with people. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need you. I need you. We need each other. I want you to join the hands of the person beside you as we close out in prayer. I'm believing today that over the next few weeks as we kick off our groups, that as you connected in relationships, that God is just going to do something great in your group, in your life, in your family, and who you are. You're going to connect with people who are going to make you better, make you stronger. People who are going to need what you have to give, and you're going to help them also. So I'm just going to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person here today. That God, your relationships are such an important part of who you were. We find you constantly building relationships. You called your disciples, and you built a personal relationship with them that went beyond the crowd, that went beyond the synagogue. God, you live with these guys. Lord, you develop a relationship. You did life with these guys, mentoring them and encouraging them. And Father, we are called to live a life by your example. And God, you have never called us to live a life isolated. You never called us to live a life doing our own thing by ourselves. But God, you have called us to get connected to each other, that the body of Christ would grow by connecting one with another and praying one for another and teaching one another, supporting one another, encouraging one another, comforting one another. And God, I just pray today that, Father, that I just come against any spirit, Lord, that would cause us to isolate ourselves, whether it be fear of past hurts, fear of being hurt by somebody in the past, or just a fear I have to take off a mask, or fear that people may see who I really am. That God, you would help us to lay aside any fear that would stop us from being connected to people. And I pray that, Father, as we take those steps, Lord, and get connected into our home groups and to our small groups, that, Father, there is a spirit, Lord, there of connecting with people that begins to develop them, that, God, they find the encouragement they're looking for. They find your spirit there that is encouraging them, that is challenging them, that is growing them. And, Father, I thank you in advance, Lord. I thank you for those who raised their hands today, who said they're being challenged, Lord, to get outside where they're at and get connected. And, God, I pray that you would truly help us, Father, as your word says, to love you with all of our heart and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And by this, people will know that we are your disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you today. Thank you for being here. Hug a neck. Shake a hand. You have a great week. We'll see leaders here tonight at 6. Amen.